Welcome to Bothy Project's 2021 Neighbourhood Residency Podcasts. My name is Leslie Young and I work for Bothy Project. The Neighbourhood Residencies Project differed from our normal residencies by the fact they were open to people from all walks of life as long as they lived in the neighbourhood of our Bothies. Selected from an open call, the 9 participants, 3 from each area, spent roughly a week alone on residency and then participated in conversations with the other residents. Initially to discuss the similarities and differences of life where they live, then going on to explore bigger issues. We hope you enjoy these insights. In this Neighbourhood Residency podcast, A Stag on the Porch, A Vole in the Wall, the participants describe the diverse locations they live in. You'll get a sense of the landscape, the distribution of people, and the history of each location. Later in the podcast, you'll hear what some of the participants did with the time they spent on residency. But let's start in Ascent and Coigach, an area in the far northwest of Scotland, covering around 500 square miles, with a population of around 1,300 people, mostly living on the coastline, with the main villages being Achiltibuie and Lough Inver. Sarah Bernstein starts us off by talking about Achiltibuie.
Achiltibuie is a long, linear village on the west coast of Scotland, and it faces the Summer Isles. So you reach the village by driving down a long, winding single track that's off the A835. And if you look to the left, you'll see some long lochs, and beyond that, the hills that hem the village in between themselves and the sea. So there's Benmore Coigach, the Fiddler, Conival. And then on the right, you'll pass another hill called Stack Polly, and it has a really distinctive rocky crest. Sometimes Achiltibuie is used as a metonym for all of Coigach, which is the peninsula that we're on, but Coigach is actually made up of a number of different townships, including Achaninver and Achnahaird. It's an incredibly, incredibly beautiful place, very windy, often quite rainy.
Thank you. And Kat, maybe could you describe Lough Inver?
Yeah, so Lough Inver is kind of the main village in Ascent. It's got a population of around 650 individuals, so it's not massive. It's the biggest in the area, but still quite small. So it's a fishing port, is one of its things. It's also quite a big tourist hub. There's a butcher's, and there's also cafe, restaurants, gift shops, etc. And one of the Highland stoneware areas, obviously, as well. The primary school is situated in this area in Lough Inver as well, and there's also Ascent Leisure Centre, which offers fitness facilities and also houses Ascent Learning. So there's a lot going on.
I think that sounds pretty comprehensive. Monica, what can you add in your description kind of the landscape?
I think the best idea of what Ascent looks like you get actually from an aerial view or from drone footage, because it shows you the mountains that all sort of stand alone, not mountain ranges, they just stick out like somebody dropped them during creation, if there was creation. It's a geologically ancient area. I think that's one of the special characteristics of it, and you can feel that ancient rock around you. We've got a sea, we've got white, beautiful beaches. They look very Caribbean. They are not as warm as the Caribbean, though. But it's just the rich variety of the landscape. I think when I first came to Essen, that is what struck me. I'd never seen an area where you had so many amazing nature things so closely together. Beautiful mountains, sea, and so much water. There are rivers, there are lochs. And it's really a beautiful collection of green and blue spaces. And it is very remote. I think there are only 2 roads that sort of go around the coast or go inland. There's nothing else. You can't really go missing because we just don't have anywhere where you could end up by accident.
And now to Badenoch and Strathspey, the area on the western edge of the Cairngorms National Park, which follows the River Spey. The Cairngorms National Park covers over 500 square miles and there are 18,000 people living within its boundaries. The park is visited by nearly 2 million visitors every year. So I wonder if Robin, if you could talk a bit about the area of kind of Badenoch and Strathspey. I know that as a geographical area, that's maybe less well known to people. So if you can give a sense of its scope, that would be really great.
So Badenoch and Strathspey stretches from Loch Lagan in the south, to Granton-on-Spey in the north. It's a lot of mountains, the Monlaith mountain range and the Grampian mountain range, and obviously the Cairngorms, as well as the River Spey, and then a lot of lochs, and some towns and villages. So you've got Newtonmore, Kingussie, Aviemore, Boatgarten, Carbridge, Nethybridge, Granton-on-Spey. I think that's pretty much covers it.
Yes. So Aviemore sort of used to be a collection of tiny townships. There were maybe four or five. It's always been known as a meeting place, really, because there are so many sort of straths and glens. There's Glenmore up to the Northern Corries, there's Glen Ennich, there's Glen Feshy, there's Strath Bay, and then Badenoch to the south. And it didn't really exist as a town until the railway came. And then everybody decided that it would be a lovely place to come on holiday and built lots of grand houses, some of which we still have in the village. But that was sort of the mid-1800s. And then, of course, in the 1970s, when the skiing took off, we had lots of lovely concrete hotels put up, and it became the centre of British skiing. So it's always been a bit of an unusual place. Even now there's quite a transient population here as well.
Robbie, would you be able to give us an introduction to the area where you're based, Nethybridge, please?
Yeah, sure. So Nethybridge is, I think it's about 10 miles from Aviemore. Nethybridge is known by some people as the forest village, or at least that's what's written on the sign as you approach the village. Surrounded by forest, which I think geographically is quite a defining feature. There's about 600 or 700 residents. It's well known for its Highland Games in second Saturday of August. I think it's an interesting village for a few reasons. It's got quite a growing, expanding population. There's also quite a high density of second homes and holiday homes, which creates a little bit of a tension. You know, it's a pretty peaceful place.
And now to the small isles, which are made up of the islands of Egg, Rum, Canna and Muck. Participants in the neighbourhood residencies came from Egg, which has a population of 110 people, Rum, where 40 people live, and Canna, which has 16 residents.
Can I ask each of you to give us a sort of brief introduction to distinctiveness in the landscape that each of your islands possesses? Fliss, could you introduce Rum, please?
Rum is the biggest of the small isles. It's kind of got the tail end of the Coolin Ridge, so we've got some really big mountains and some wild spaces. It's about 8 miles by 8 miles, which doesn't seem big, but it is. Most of the island is a nature reserve and a special area of conservation and has various other designations. But the village is now owned by the Isle of Rum Community Trust. We did a small community buyout 10, 11 years ago now. So everything in the village, excluding the castle, is owned by the community. We get a huge amount of visitors every year, mostly to like look at the birds, see the ponies, see the castle, all that kind of thing. We're a small community, about 40-odd people. We've just built some new houses for and four new families to come and live here, which is quite an exciting time for us. So that'll do. That's about all for now.
Ishbel, how does Canna compare with Rum?
Canna is, we're not the smallest, but we've got the smallest population. We've only got 16. And Canna is sort of tucked in behind the rest of the small isle, so you can't see it really from the mainland unless you're far down in Ardnamurchan. We've got quite a lot packed into a little small island because it's like full of nature, full of history, archaeology, great beaches. We've got a farm, lots and lots of wildlife. There's been a seabird study being done for the last 50 years, which is pretty amazing. We've got Le Havre's only puffin colony. We talk about Canna, but actually it's Canna and Sandy. So they're the two islands that sort of come together to form this amazing harbour. So we've had a really strong link with the sea and with fishing boats, and The island is owned by the National Trust for Scotland. We've got our own renewable energy that belongs to the community. We've got a community shop that belongs to the community. The moorings belong to the community. So bit by bit, we're nibbling away at the edges of ownership, I think.
And Nora, could you describe Egg in relationship maybe to the other islands?
Yeah, so, well, Egg is the island nearest to the mainland. And so we do have a bigger population. It's over 100 and growing. The main thing that makes Egg unique is that it is a community-owned island. We had a community buyout nearly 25 years now. But that's, really informed the present period of Egg, and because everything is run by the community and for the community. Lots of positive energy around, which is great. And a fantastic amount of wildlife, very good for birds and seashore life.
Fliss, Ishbel and Nora spent their time at Sweeney's Bothy enjoying the following.
Well, it all seemed to be about the weather and the landscape and connections.
Thursday, the 21st of January. It was pretty dull and rainy this morning, so after a long day outside yesterday, I thought I'd spend today, or some of it, most of it inside, so, and got some ideas together in my head for some writing based on all the conversations I had yesterday. I've learned a lot about the landscape and the history of Cleedale and crofting.
The outside shower, which was the highlight for me.
I feel at peace, and I've only been here for half an hour. I'm listening to Stevie Wonder and staring out at this unbelievable view of my island over the sea.
I hadn't been by myself for a long, long time, so I really enjoyed it.
For me, it was connecting with people that I had known before and having really good chats, so lots of chat about crofting, because the issue of crofting and new crofts had come up on Canna. So I was able to talk to Camille and different people on Egg about that as well. So that was really, really good.
Friday, 26th of March, last day at the Bothy already. It's gone by very quickly. Managed another walk up to the Hazelwoods today, which was great. Did more exploring. Been thinking a lot about nature and the landscape around us and how we interact in it. Human ecology and the non-human ecology around us. Been rereading all about community ownership again on Egg and thinking about politics and governance and how the trust works. And how we interact as a community. And what can we do in our own place here about climate change and bigger projects like our woodland, growing woodland, the tree nursery, wood fuel projects that the community, the trust has set up, are all really important. Keeping the momentum is hard, keeping your energy up is hard, and you have to remember to take time out like I've done this week, which has helped re-energise me. So, thanks to the Bothy Project.
Sweeney's Bothy sits on a croft in the township of Cleedale on Egg. And as well as enjoying time outside their normal routines, staying at the Bothy and exploring around Cleedale, Fliss, Ishbel and Nora also took the chance to build on some existing Small Isles connections and came up with some really concrete and practical ideas that they'll try and enact across the Small Isles. They mention Lucy, on whose croft Sweeney's Bothy sits, and Catherine, who runs All About Willow, a small company that weaves locally grown willow into beautiful baskets.
It is interesting that the residency, I think for the islands, it was, for me, it was a very neighbourly thing. I mean, it was being neighbours with Ishbel and Fliss, got to know them.
Every time that we link up with people from the Small Isles, it's always like so brilliant, and we always get so inspired and ideas get exchanged. So by the time I got to Egg, Fliss had been there, and Lucy was then sort of explaining to me some of the ideas that Fliss had come up with, and one of them was having a small Isles, like a housing management group, because on each of the small, well,
oh, okay,
most of the small Isles, there's some level of community housing. So instead of each island having to set up a organisation or get an external organisation to help manage their community housing, it's like, why don't we just do that ourselves? And like one central body that does it,
yes,
all for the small Isles.
Because we found that, you know, you end up doing, you know, you're like a jack of all trades. You need to do a bit of everything. But the housing is such a specialist area. So we've been looking at having to get an outside organisation in to help us.
Which seems to be pretty impossible.
Yeah, if we could link up. Yes.
Yeah. Egg, Canna,
yes.
Noida, Rum. We've all got these new houses, and we can work on that. It's already grown arms and legs in terms of things like maintenance and things. So hopefully that one will come to fruition. Mm. Or the how was it? That was what came up actually. Housing maintenance, things like gas safe and boiler servicing, happens on all the islands. We spend an absolute fortune on that, getting somebody from the mainland to do it. So we looked at the possibility of funding someone to get that training who lives in the small Isles, and in return they have a contract for X number of years that they're obliged to fulfil, so they don't just disappear with their new qualifications. Yes. To do that, or you could start off with gas safe or boiler maintenance, you know, and they could just go around the islands, and then the money stays in the small Isles. I think if we're going to have to spend vast quantities of cash on stuff, the best idea is to try and keep it local.
So Fliss, what's the other ideas then? you were writing them down this morning.
Yeah, well, we had one about some kind of a bit like work away, that kind of idea, but for volunteers and seasonal staff for the small Isles. Because we all struggle getting volunteers and seasonal staff, and if we had just like one little forum just for the small Isles, because what we want is a little bit more specialised, and we don't want people just to come here for a month. We want people who are, as Catherine said, she goes, I want people who want to do this. She needs people. Mm. If she's asking them to weed the garden, she wants them to want to do it. So we can, and then we could share the volunteers and the staff around the islands, you know, so people could commit to a month or more, but they go, you know, can spend a bit of time on each island.
We do know that sometimes people have come as volunteers and then ended up staying. So what other ideas did we have? So we had the housing management, we had the volunteers.
You had tourism.
Yes. So that was kind of my theme, was about this whole opportunity post-COVID to kind of reset our relationship with tourism. Because I see it. Some people are quite anti-tourist and a bit jaded with tourism. And so it doesn't lead to a great experience for everybody. And I just think we don't need to be like that. And why are we like that? So maybe we need to take control of the situation and change our idea of our relationship, that we're not serving tourists, we're enabling people to come and share our island or something like that.
Yeah, tourism is great, but it shouldn't be the sole focus of your community. You know, you need to have other industries and businesses going.
Yeah. So it's just changing how you're looking at it. So what do we want? We want sustainable communities. So how can tourism help that? Well, maybe some of our tourists are actually volunteers. Maybe some of our tourists bring skills. Obviously they bring money into the economy and they can support our small businesses so that we don't change our lifestyle for tourists. This is what you can come and engage with this.
Yeah. Like you said, these conversations are a lot more productive, and we've made things happen out of what Leslie's created here with the Bothy Project, and I just think that's great, and there's lots more things we can do. what do we call it, like a little think tank, like a little women's think tank for the Small Isles. It's like there's a few people out there who are really motivated to trying to get things done. And if we do that, we can achieve little things. We're not going to have talk about stuff and then do nothing. We'll only do stuff. We'll only talk about things which we can actually achieve.
And now to Inshriachbothy, which is on a small private estate around 5 miles from Aviemore. Robin starts us off.
Yes, I was there at the end of April. No, middle to end of April, some point in April. I think it was just like kind of just same thing, like slowing down, like kind of going for walks, being like a lot more aware of the sounds of what was around you, like listening to the spey kind of like bubbling and chittering and all the birds that are around. And what Sarah pointed out when she came back was a vole that lives in the wall.
So I've gone for a little walk down by the River Spey. Just kind of enjoyed listening to the river babbling away and watching the wee swifts. As we speak, I've got my camera up behind the bothy because I had this nice idea about filming a time lapse of the sunset with the bothy, but actually the way that the light is, I think the bothy's going to be in utter darkness. We might just get some nice sky in the top half of the frame, but we'll see. Got my fire going, so that feels like a win.
And I think just like sort of the rhythm being more about like collecting water and chopping wood and making your fire. And I think if I was to do it again, I wouldn't take my phone because I turned off all my apps other than like, you know, to be able to sort of check in with people. But you don't really need to check in with people because there wasn't really any way of getting like majorly lost or anything going horribly wrong, I don't think. And it meant I still checked the time quite a lot. And I'm like, oh, I think it would have actually been nice to do it and have had less concept of time. Because I was still like, oh, it's almost 11. I better get a move on. And it's like, you don't really need to get a move on. It doesn't matter.
That's great. Thanks, Robin. Sarah?
Yes. Again, fairly similar to the, to Kat and Robin. It was very much, listening and observing and exploring and just doing things at the pace and the rhythm that I felt like, which we don't usually have the luxury of doing. We usually have a meeting at 10, or we need to have lunch by 1 because something else is happening. And of course, without any of that, it doesn't matter that dinner takes an hour and a half to make or 2 hours or so I just sort of, it was a luxury. It was a real luxury. Also, I had fantastic weather, which really helped. It was sort of gloriously hot, sunny days. And did a lot of reading, and the readings that I took with me, I probably could have cut down on the readings. Actually, I walked everything in, so it was about 7 miles. And I wish I had cut back. Anyway, I got through a lot.
There's a short piece in a PhD thesis that I found from 2002 by Olivia Kavarok-Lelong. Which is called Writing People into the Landscape. And she looks at different areas, but Badenoch is one of them, and of course we're in Badenoch. She writes, the ministers also condemned the small holdings and short leases commonly granted to tenants, which effectively put them at the mercy of their landlords in a system one minister described as worse than feudal. And that's quoting from a book by Anderson in 1790.
Really interesting, rich material that
is from the place that I was in. So that sort of gave a whole other level to it when I was there. It sort of, I had the nature aspects of it, but then I had these sort of culture and heritage aspects to it as well, which just linked so nicely together and just, yeah, made everything much more whole in a way.
Hello, this is Robbie. I don't know if you can hear a pretty full River Spey in the background there. The first day I arrived here at Inchreich Bothy, there was a few inches of snow on the ground and I was trudging through the fields with my barrow trying to think about how I was going to deal with several days of real isolation. To be honest, it thawed pretty quickly and I would say I've been living a life of relative luxurious simplicity. I'm an artist and I work with the body. I make performance, I make film, things that are to do with people, bodies connecting with their surroundings and each other. And I guess I'm like thinking about the big issues of the area, land access, land restoration, ecology, and thinking how on earth do I fit in here? It's an ongoing question. And I guess I just see huge potential. I just come back from a really interesting walk with Cairngorms Connect, an organisation who work with a number of landowners in the area on a shared vision, a 200-year vision around land restoration and biodiversity, which I just think is a beautiful gesture, really, idea as well. And part of my approach to thinking is by doing stuff to help me think. And I've been working with a wildlife camera trap to try and capture some odd footage in an unconventional way. And I have no idea if that's heading anywhere interesting, but I'm not sure it matters at the moment.
And we'll round up with Sarah Bernstein, Kat and Monica, who each stayed at the Assen Art Studio for a week. The Assen Art Studio sits on the community-owned Glencanisp Estate, which covers 44,000 acres. Managed by the Assen Foundation for the benefit of the community, the iconic mountain of Solven is part of the estate and visible from the art studio. The art studio is only occasionally used for residential residencies. Normally it hosts events, classes and meetings. Sarah mentions Nigel, who was a trustee with the Assen Foundation until recently and was the main contact for the neighbourhood residencies in Assen and Coigach.
I went swimming every day, almost. When I arrived, I had a really interesting conversation with Nigel about community ownership because the Assen Art Studio is on the Glencanisp Estate, which is community owned now. So while I was there, I was thinking about the difficulties of community ownership. And then I was kind of in solitude there, but equally there were always people stopping by to have a chat because I think that's normally the function of the Assen Arts Studio. Like, people are hanging around, which was really nice. So it was interesting to think about the intersection of solitude and community ownership and how to kind of negotiate that space. Because I wasn't really sure, like, people were just walking in and I wasn't really sure, you know, what to do. So I just chatted to them instead. And it was really nice. And it was really nice to go for walks every day. There was a big stag on the porch on the last night. Because it's right in the middle of things, kind of. And it's right at the start of the path to Solven. And so you see people walking by a lot and enjoying the place also. So that was really nice.
So I was on residency at the start of April, and I switched off from technology, well, from internet and phone. And what was really amazing, I found, was that I kind of just listened to what was called to flow out.
So it's my final day of the residency. And I thought, again, just got the urge to bring the camera outside and talk to it. So here I am. And yeah, it's kind of weird thinking back to the start of the residency when when it was so cold and was really snowy. Again, it was still really still and calm, but it was just a different, totally different vibe. And I tried to move away from labelling weather good or bad. But I have to say it's been so nice just to have some calm. It feels like the past few months have just been an absolute storm, just a whirlwind of emotions and being pushed and pulled and totally getting lost in it all.
So I could just stop and not think, what am I supposed to be doing right now, but what do I actually want to do? And so a lot of the time I just spent outside walking in nature, which was just beautiful, and wrote some music, did a little bit of sketching, read some books just out on the sort of veranda part of the studio, and I think that sort of summarises my time.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Kat.
Yeah, I came back a few days ago and was very careful in not to project manage the residency because that is my trade. So it's very tempting for me to just make a plan and a to-do list. And I didn't want to do that. So I really tried to sort of, like the others said, so be in the moment, go with the flow. And I wanted to really have a mix of introspection but also connection that meant something to me, so I didn't really aim to disconnect, but it was an interesting mix of time going really slowly, but then suddenly it was Friday and the time had gone. And I think that perception of how time just moves at different speeds in such an environment, just being on your own and having the luxury of time, and yeah, just following your own, I suppose, your own, what do you want to do and where you want to go. Truly enjoyed it. It feels like a real luxury to have had this week, which went as planned in some ways, took unexpected turns in others, and I think I'll need to digest a lot of the thinking I've done, a lot of the writing I've started. I loved doing these audio diaries every day, or several times every day. And yeah, I really take away a lot. So I would just like to thank the Bothy Project and the Essen Foundation for making this possible. I think it's an amazing idea to give local people the opportunity to just step out of their everyday life for a bit and really free up space and time to dwell on things of their choosing and to simply be. That was what I tried to do, just be.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, A Stag on the Porch, A Vole in the Wall. You can find the other two podcasts on the Bothy Project website, which is www.bothyproject.com, or on our SoundCloud page. The residencies followed Scottish Government COVID guidelines, and all conversation between residents took place remotely. The neighbourhood residencies were initiated by Bothy Project, in partnership with the Small Isles Community Council, the Isle of Egg Residents Association, the Ascent Foundation and Cairngorms National Park Authority. The project has been supported by Creative Scotland, Cairngorms National Park Authority and Highland Council. This podcast was recorded by David Maxwell and edited by Jen Martin. Bothy Project is a small arts organisation which hosts creative residencies for artists, writers and musicians and other creative people at Inshriach Bothy in the Cairngorms and at Sweeney's Bothy on the Isle of Egg. Our Bothys are small-scale buildings designed for one person to live and work in for short periods of time. They are off-grid and set within distinct landscapes. Inshriach is in a native woodland and Sweeney's on a croft with a view to the sea. Since we started in 2011, artists have used their time on residency to draw, paint, compose, finish books and plan new projects. Although some people have just spent time thinking, connecting with the landscape and appreciating time away from most modern conveniences.